Imagine turning off, a massive machine in Europe, and suddenly the fundamental frequency of human consciousness just, well, it shifts.
Right, it sounds exactly like the opening scene of a sci-fi novel.
It really does. But today's deep dive actually looks at a report that asks a very real, very grounded question. Like, what if the world isn't falling apart in some random chaos? What if it's just accelerating by design?
Yeah, and that is a massive shift in perspective. I mean, we're so conditioned to view global events as this slow, sequential march of history.
Exactly.
But when you look at the sheer volume of data hitting us today, that old model just, it doesn't hold up anymore.
No, it really doesn't. And that's actually our mission today for you listening. We are taking a comprehensive conversational journey through the July 2026 monthly report from the Great Awakening Report.
Which is quite a dense read, honestly.
Oh, totally. Our goal is to survey these major developments across, geopolitics, technology, health, and consciousness. We really want to sort through this massive stack of sources to help you identify the larger signals and emerging patterns in a world that frankly feels like it's spinning faster every single day.
It does. And the overarching theme of this month's report is that we are firmly in what they call a threshold acceleration phase. And I want to clarify immediately, this is not a call for urgency or panic.
Right, no doom and gloom here.
Exactly. The report actually uses five specific lenses to filter all this incoming data. So we've got signals, patterns, transition, convergence, and preparation. It's, a framework designed to orient you so you can evaluate the landscape critically instead of just reacting to it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Think of your current experience of the news cycle like a computer that's suddenly lagging and freezing.
Right, I like that analogy.
Yeah, your system isn't broken. It's just that way too much background data is processing all at once. Your RAM is totally maxed out.
Right, you just have too many tabs open.
Exactly. So this report is essentially the task manager. It's showing you exactly what programs are running beneath the surface so you don't just, pull the plug in sheer frustration.
That's a really great way to look at it. It's all about orientation and cognitive regulation.
And to set the table today, we're going to look at three lead articles from the report that perfectly capture this acceleration. We've got the recent Pacific Rim earthquakes, Dr. Stephen Greer's global UAP announcement, and that mind-bending narrative about the CERN particle accelerator I hinted at earlier.
Those three really set the tone, yeah.
Because if we're going to understand how our mental processing of reality is shifting, we probably need to look at how the physical reality of the Earth is shifting right beneath our literal feet.
Which is exactly why the report starts with those earthquakes. I mean,
Yeah.
we saw the June 24th magnitude 7.2 and 7.5 earthquakes in Venezuela.
Right.
But the critical context here is that these occurred almost simultaneously with really significant seismic activity in Japan, the Philippines, and Northern California.
Now, if you're just looking at a global map and you see all those red dots lighting up at once, it is so easy to jump to the conclusion that the Earth is like cracking open in some synchronized doomsday event.
Oh, it is incredibly tempting to connect those dots. But this is where we have to look at the underlying mechanics. The Ring of Fire, which encompasses these Pacific regions, it accounts for 90% of all recorded earthquakes.
Wow, 90%.
Yeah, and 75% of the world's active volcanoes. So science tells us that these are independent tectonic boundaries. The stress beneath the Earth's crust builds up over decades, and sometimes, just statistically speaking, the release of that tectonic stress along different active plate boundaries just happens to overlap in time.
Okay, so the mechanics show us this is just standard tectonic release, not some causal chain where, an earthquake in Japan magically triggers one in Venezuela.
Precisely. And the report uses this specific example to emphasize resilience over alarmism. I mean, the real devastation in Venezuela was compounded by shallow quakes hitting highly vulnerable infrastructure.
Right. It's an engineering problem, not the end of the world.
Exactly. The actionable takeaway isn't that the world is ending. It's that we need better engineering standards and emergency preparedness. We live on a dynamic geological system, and, well, we just need to build for it.
Okay, so if the tectonic plates are the literal physical foundation of our planet, what happens when we look at the unseen, quantum foundation of our reality?
Now we're getting into the really wild stuff.
Yeah, the report features this fascinating, highly unconventional narrative about CERN. The massive particle accelerator in Europe. Officially, we know CERN is shutting down for routine maintenance.
Right, just swapping out some parts, upgrading systems.
But the report outlines an alternate narrative.
Yeah.
It asks, what if the Higgs field isn't just a physical mechanism giving particles mass? What if it's actually the anchor?
What's fascinating here is how the report blends theoretical physics with what you might call a modern mythological
Okay,
framework.
explain that.
Well, it posits a scenario where the Higgs field functions as a frequency mechanism. It's essentially engineered to keep human consciousness locked into dense physical matter, like a perceptual anchor.
So, to a traditional physicist, that sounds like pure mythology. But the report is framing this as a metaphor or literal hidden science for how we perceive reality itself.
Yes, exactly. According to this narrative, when CERN achieved its highest energy particle collisions back in 2012, it created microfractures in that perceptual boundary.
Wow.
Yeah, it essentially cracked the anchor between two overlapping realities, one being an organic timeline of human evolution, and the other being an artificial construct sustained by, fear and control.
So under this theory, CERN's current shutdown is what initiates the awakening protocol. The report mentions the 888 resonance. What actually is that? I mean, is it a sound wave? An electromagnetic frequency?
The report describes the 888 resonance as a specific, highly coherent, energetic frequency of abundance and elevated awareness. Think of it like a radio station that has always been broadcasting, but the heavy matter of the Higgs field acted as static, just blocking the signal.
Like driving through a tunnel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With the anchor fractured and the machine powering down, that coherent frequency can finally flow into human consciousness without any obstruction.
But wait, if reality is fracturing, or at least our perception of it is, this makes me wonder, are we just waiting for a giant machine in Europe to turn off so we can all become enlightened? Like, how much of this is a technological trigger versus a purely biological conscious evolution?
That is the pivotal distinction the report explores, actually. It concludes that whether you view this CERN narrative as literal suppressed science or as a powerful symbolic mythology to explain our current times, the ultimate shift is internal.
So it's about us, not the machine.
Exactly. The takeaway isn't about worshiping or fearing a machine. It's that humanity's greatest technology is consciousness itself. People are experiencing an internal awakening, realizing they are capable of participating in reality far beyond those old, dense limitations.
And if the fundamental rules of reality are shifting from a closed, suppressed system to an open one, that perfectly explains the individuals right now who are forcing open the locked doors of information.
Oh, absolutely.
Which naturally brings us to the push for transparency, specifically Dr. Stephen Greer's global special announcement regarding UAP's unidentified aerial phenomena.
Greer's approach to disclosure is entirely shifting right now. For years, the paradigm was waiting for a government entity to hold a press conference and officially tell the public the truth.
Right, like waiting for the president to make an announcement.
Yeah, but Greer's no longer waiting.
He's crowdsourcing it. He's building a massive independent historical repository. He's literally asking whistleblowers from aerospace, military, and intelligence sectors to deposit their firsthand testimony and technical documents about advanced energy and anti-gravity tech before it can be buried.
That's a huge undertaking.
But my assumption here would be that he's doing this to prepare us for some kind of, I don't know, intergalactic defense scenario.
Actually, that is exactly what he is warning against.
Why, really?
Yeah, the report details Greer's explicit caution against the classic alien invasion narrative. He argues that framing extraterrestrial intelligence as a hostile threat is a deliberate tactic.
Oh, I see.
If the public is terrified of a threat from space, it provides, a blank check to justify expanding military industrial programs and just increasing governmental control over the population.
So the fear itself is the control mechanism.
Exactly. He is
Yeah.
urging the public to use discernment to distinguish between genuinely unexplained cosmic phenomena and advanced human technologies that have simply been kept secret and might be used to stage a false threat.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because this civilian push for transparency is perfectly mirroring an institutional push. The report covers Tulsi Gabbard's role as Director of National Intelligence.
Right.
And just to be clear to you listening, we're not endorsing any political platform here, and neither is the report. It is just neutrally examining her stated administrative goals, specifically her push for massive declassification.
Right. And her argument is that excessive bureaucratic secrecy actually destroys institutional integrity. I mean, when everything is classified, meaningful civilian oversight becomes literally impossible.
Because the people in charge of holding the intelligence community accountable don't even have the security clearance to see what they're supposed to be overseeing.
Precisely. It creates a completely closed loop. And the structural demand for accountability is breaking that loop open from the top down, while figures like Greer are breaking it open from the bottom up.
Disclosure used to be waiting for a government press release, and now it's acting like a decentralized open-source intelligence project where the public is just crowdsourcing the truth.
That's exactly what's happening.
But if information is suddenly being crowdsourced and decentralized, bypassing those old gatekeepers, what happens to those gatekeepers? That directly threatens the old centralized structures of power. And that brings us to the financial sector and the warnings of Edward Dowd, the former BlackRock portfolio manager.
Yeah, Dowd is looking at the macroeconomic data, and he's seeing massive, unsustainable structural imbalances. He warns that the global economy is entering a brutal debt cycle adjustment. But what's really interesting is how he views the current boom in artificial intelligence.
Right, because right now everyone is treating AI as the ultimate economic savior. But Dowd says the AI tech bubble is actually masking a deeply fragile credit market. How does that mechanism even work?
Essentially, companies and markets are borrowing heavily against the future promises of AI productivity to hide their current operational losses and bad debt.
Oh, wow. So it's a shell game.
It's an illusion of growth built on...
Through his influence in Palantir, AI, and defense technology, Thiel represents a new technological power elite, intercepting directly with national security.
And concurrently, you know, the report notes the massive audience shifts toward polarizing independent media figures like Candace Owens, despite her recent controversies and that Russia trip. And politically, it examines the sudden resignation of UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
And again, we aren't validating or invalidating the politics of Thiel, Owens, or Starmer. The report is just using them as distinct indicators of systemic disruption. The legacy ways of manufacturing public consensus are totally failing, and you see this tension perfectly in the push for election integrity.
Yes, the report highlights a fascinating transition toward data-driven verification in elections. Instead of relying on blind institutional trust, the focus is shifting to tracking the literal digital footprints of mail-in ballots.
So this means tracking the barcodes, the GPS routing of the mail trucks, the exact processing timestamps.
Exactly, using data analytics to find anomalies in the chain of custody. It's the same mechanism used in global supply chain management or banking cybersecurity.
Right.
If an Amazon package can be tracked to the exact minute it left a facility and arrived at a door, the argument is that ballots should have mathematically verifiable transparency.
Wait, I have to stop you there, though. So what does this all mean? We're talking about tracking barcodes and using massive data analytics to stop centralized corruption. But aren't we just handing the keys over to the tech billionaires who build the AI systems doing the tracking?
That is a very fair point.
I mean, are we actually dismantling centralized corruption, or are we just transferring power from old political crime families to a new, unaccountable technological power elite? Who verifies the AI?
That is the defining tension of this entire transition. Decentralization offers transparency, but it creates a massive power vacuum that highly concentrated tech monopolies are very eager to fill, which forces us to look at the physical reality of this AI expansion.
Right, because it's not just code.
Exactly. Verification requires computation, and computation requires massive physical resources.
And this brings us to the AI data center crisis. We tend to think of artificial general intelligence, AGI, as this clean, digital thing just floating up in the cloud. But the U.S. is currently in the middle of the largest data center construction boom in history. We are talking about thousands of hyperscale facilities.
And the physical toll is just staggering. These facilities require millions of gallons of water for their cooling systems, often located in places like Arizona and Texas, where water is already incredibly scarce.
Yeah, it's wild.
And they are pushing the electrical grid to its absolute limits.
Now, the report offers two contrasting views on this. Computer scientist Aisha Kasgun proposes a really optimistic view. She talks about using these AI data centers as virtual batteries. But how does a building full of servers act as a battery?
It's a clever mechanism, actually. Instead of storing power in a massive lithium battery, a data center can dynamically adjust its computing workloads. So during peak neighborhood energy hours, like when everyone comes home and turns on their air conditioning, the data center can pause its massive AI training loads. It effectively gives back that power capacity to the grid when it's needed most, and then it just resumes computation at night.
Okay, that makes sense. But on the other hand, you have journalist Karen Howe and environmental advocate Aaron Brockovich sounding a massive alarm about this. They are warning about the sheer extraction of resources.
Oh, their perspective is grim.
Yeah, they point out that everyday citizens are facing public utility hikes to pay for this grid expansion. So a tiny handful of tech monopolies can gain unprecedented control over an AGI system that will, you know, influence labor markets and public perception.
It is a massive physical extraction to build a synthetic brain. And what I really love about this report is how masterfully it pivots from the stress we are putting on our planetary grid directly to the stress we put on our biological grid.
The medical system.
Yeah.
The report pulls no punches here. It describes the health industry, particularly big pharma, as captured. The business model is heavily skewed towards symptom management because, to put it bluntly, a cured patient is a lost customer.
Sadly, yes.
But just as the energy grid is under pressure, incredible health innovations are breaking through.
Specifically, the massive rise in peptides. The report details therapies like GLP-1 for metabolic disease and BPC-157 for profound tissue repair.
Now, when people hear peptides, they might think of some synthetic experimental chemical in a lab. What exactly is a peptide?
Peptides are simply short chains of amino acids. They are the body's natural signaling molecules.
Okay.
Think of them as biological software patches. They act as messengers that bind to receptors on your cells, directing biological processes like immune function, reducing inflammation, and triggering cellular repair. And the FDA is reportedly reviewing the easing of restrictions on these therapies, which is finally moving them from the gray market into mainstream regenerative medicine.
It's wild. We're building these massive AI data centers that consume millions of gallons of water to process information, while Big Pharma creates synthetic drugs. But our own bodies already have incredibly advanced internal signaling networks like peptides that just need the right biological resources to heal themselves.
It's staggering, isn't it? We are obsessing over building artificial intelligence while completely ignoring the innate divine intelligence already coded right into our own biology.
And that biological realization begs a much larger question. I mean, if our bodies possess innate healing tech that has been suppressed or forgotten, what else have we forgotten? The report argues that to navigate this complex future, we have to remember our forbidden past and our connection to the cosmos.
This is where the report dives into the work of researchers like Randall Carlson. Carlson examines the geological record, the actual physical scars on the Earth, and finds undeniable evidence of massive catastrophic events.
Like what?
Specifically, the Younger Dryas megafloods that occurred roughly 12,800 years ago.
Which completely disrupts the mainstream historical timeline. We're taught civilization just slowly built up from hunter-gatherers a few thousand years ago. But a comet impact and global flooding resetting the planet proves that humanity and likely highly advanced human societies are far older than the textbooks claim.
And if history is cyclical, you know, understanding those ancient resets is vital for understanding our immediate future. The report connects this to Dr. Irvin Laszlo's concept of the macro shift.
Now, I know if you're listening to this on your commute, that the next concept, the Galactic Flash, it sounds like a Marvel movie plot, but the report is tying this to actual data, right?
Yes. Laszlo is looking at cyclical solar activity and cosmic radiation. The report outlines the event, which is tied to a 26,000-year grand cycle linked to our solar system's orbit.
Okay, so it's measurable.
Right. The galactic flash isn't necessarily a magical lightning bolt. It refers to a scientifically measurable burst of cosmic energy and solar plasma that fundamentally alters the Earth's electromagnetic field, which in turn elevates the planetary and biological frequencies.
It ties the physical universe directly to human consciousness.
Mm.
Which brings us to Dr. Diana Pasulka's research. She views these cosmic events in UAP disclosure not just through a nuts and bolts military lens, but through the lens of religious history and consciousness.
Her work is brilliant.
Yeah, she introduces this concept of the dweller on the threshold.
The dweller on the threshold is an ancient psychological and spiritual concept. It represents the literal manifestation of collective human fear, greed, lower emotions, and unhealed trauma. It's the psychological shadow of humanity.
The metaphorical barrier we have to pass.
Exactly. Pasulka's work suggests that before humanity can achieve unity consciousness or even ascend to handle these higher frequencies we've been talking about, we have to face this dweller. We cannot just technologically bypass our own trauma.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Is the event a literal solar flash coming to save us? Or is it a metaphor for a critical mass of human beings finally choosing to face the dweller on the threshold and, you know, evolving past our collective trauma?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it might be both.
Both.
Yeah, a macro physical event in our solar system could be the exact environmental catalysts required to trigger a microspiritual evolution within human consciousness. The physical and the spiritual are entirely interlinked here.
Which brings us to the ultimate application of all this information. Because knowing about tectonic stress, data centers, UAP historical archives, and galactic cycles is completely useless if it just leaves you paralyzed with anxiety.
Oh, exactly. It's too much to hold all at once.
Right. So the report deeply emphasizes the path of awakening, highlighting the work of health researcher Sayurji.
Sayurji's core message is all about health sovereignty. Navigating this threshold acceleration phase comes down to one fundamental task, and that's regulating your own nervous system, specifically toning the vagus nerve.
For those who don't know, the vagus nerve is basically the biological brake pedal for your body. It controls the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest state.
Exactly. When you tone the vagus nerve through deep breathing, mindful nutrition, or even just finding inner stillness, you send a chemical signal to your heart and lungs that the environment is safe.
Which is huge.
It is, because this shifts blood flow away from the extremities, which is that fight or flight panic state, and pushes it back to your prefrontal cortex.
Which is where you actually exercise logic, reason, and discernment. If you are constantly in a state of fight or flight over the daily news, your body literally cannot heal. And your brain cannot process the information needed to navigate this transition.
When your physical body feels safe, your mind becomes calm. And in an age of sensory overload, calm is your greatest strategic advantage.
Absolutely. And as a final reminder to you listening, this deep dive is just a starting point. The Great Awakening Report is a massive survey designed to be explored at your own pace. You should skip what doesn't resonate, dive into the sections that do, compare multiple perspectives, and above all, use your own discernment.
You are the final authority on what you allow into your mind.
And as you go about your day, we want to leave you with a final thought to ponder, building directly on Sayurji's insights. Right now, our society is terrified of artificial intelligence becoming conscious and replacing us.
Right. It's the fear of the decade.
We are spending billions of dollars straining oceans of water and pushing our power grids to the brink of collapse just to build a synthetic brain in a data center. But considering the report details how our own human hair acts as a supersensorial electromagnetic antenna and how our biological DNA actually contains hidden scalar field technology.
Right.
What if the artificial intelligence we are desperately trying to build in data centers is actually just a clumsy mechanical imitation of the divine biological technology you already possess inside your own body right now?
Now that is a perspective shift. Take a deep breath, trust your own biology, and keep your eyes open.
And keep your nervous system regulated.